I would like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. I would like to read from Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. As we've come together tonight to try to worship God, this is the last time that we'll be together this year. It'll be Wednesday, it'll be a new year. It's just hard to believe how quickly time goes by. The years just seem to fly by. I remember when I was a teenager and how slowly the years went by when I was a teenager, 13, 14, 15, trying to get to be 16. It just seemed like the years went by so slowly. And then finally, they still went pretty slow for a while, but then they started speeding up sometime, and they're going by very quickly now. I heard one elderly person say one time that when you're young, that the years, you know, when you're going down the highway, and you see the telephone poles, and you just kind of mark the telephone poles. You say, okay, there's number one, and then a few seconds later, number two, and number three. And say that when you're young, that the years kind of go by like that. They're going about like telephone poles. But then, as you get older, they go by as quickly as the fence posts would as you're going down the highway. They just clickety, clickety, click instead of far apart. They come quicker and quicker together. So life goes by in a hurry. All of our lives are fleeting. The Word of God tells us that our lives are as a handbreadth. They're very short. They're as a vapor. They're as a weaver's shuttle. They're as a shadow. Our lives go by quickly. My mother's 85 years old, and that's used to be a very, very old person to me, but doesn't seem that way anymore. In the close of this year, there are a lot of things that we could think about. There are a lot of things from God's Word. The one thing that, as I've tried to pray for God to guide and direct me about what to speak on this last Sunday night in the year 2007, the Word of God is very strongly on my heart that there are some things that we need. There are some things that we need to forget. There are some things that we need to remember. The Word of God tells us many times in the Scriptures, the Word of God says, remember. Tell me something you know that the Bible says, remember. Any Scripture that you know, the Bible says, remember.
Remember the Sabbath day.
All right, the Scripture says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's one thing God says to remember. Or something else God says to remember. Okay, Sister Janice?
Remember the Creator.
Okay, remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth. That's another Scripture that the Word of God says to remember. The Word of God says, remember Lot's wife. Over and over, the Bible says, remember, remember. And I will put you in remembrance. But there are a few times that the Bible says now, forget. And that's what was on my heart tonight, is there are some things we need to forget. There are some things that we must forget. If we're going to go forward and upward in our service to God, we have to forget some things. We have to put some things behind us. We have to lay some things aside if we're going to go forward in our service to God. Look in your Bibles now at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I want to read verses 13 and 14. The Word of God says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, before we read, I'll ask you to join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God and to know that you're our Heavenly Father. We know that thou hast declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. And Lord, we're thankful that you're the one who created this world. You're the one that's going to bring it to a close. We're thankful that we know that all things are in your power and in your keeping. We're thankful that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And we pray that you would help all of us tonight as we enter into a new year and as we close out this old year. We pray that you would help us all, that we might realize that there are some things that we need to forget, to lay aside, to put behind us, and to go forward and press onward and upward into the kingdom of heaven. Pray, Lord, that you would bless every person here. We know the that there are many who are here that stand in special need of thy help, and we ask thee, as the great physician, to touch and heal and lift up all of those that are on our hearts and our minds, those who stand in special need because of loss of loved ones. We pray that you would comfort them, give them a special measure of thy grace. We ask you to bless Judge Jackson's family, that you give them the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and all the others that have lost loved ones. The one that Sister Michelle mentioned, we pray that you would bless those children and all the others, Lord. There's so many that stand in great need of thy help. Bless us now and keep us close to thee and close to each other. Help us to live in a way that would honor and glorify thee during this coming year. Lord, we ask you to help us as we begin anew and as we start over during this coming year. We pray that you would help us to start afresh and to realize what a blessing it is to start over. Right now, Lord, help us to forget those things we need to forget. In the name of our blessed Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the saints of God at Philippi, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this," what are the next two words there? "This one thing I do." In other words, that's going to be the most important thing. This is going to be the thing that he's going to concentrate on. Not a lot of different things, but just take one thing at a time. He says, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Not going to concentrate on pressing toward the mark tonight. Maybe Wednesday night or next Sunday we'll press toward the mark. But right now I want us to just think about what Paul said. "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." There are a lot of things that are in our past. There are things that we used to do that we need to not only stop doing. But what's the main thing that we're looking at tonight? Just not just stop doing them, but to stop what? Stop remembering them. Stop even thinking about them. You know, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the very next chapter, the Apostle Paul says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, there are things that we need to think about, and then there are things that we don't need to think about. You know, one of the things that I like the computer. I thank God for the computer, but one of the things that I have a problem with is there are little pop-ups and then emails that come that say, "Billy, you've got some old high school classmates that are trying to get in touch with you." You know what my mind sometimes do? If I don't concentrate on it, my mind will begin to go back and wander and think about those things. I'm telling you, brethren, there are a lot of things we need to forget. There are people, even in our lives, that we need to forget. Not saying that we ought to forget all people, but there are some things and some people we need to pray that God will help us to forget. There are things that we used to do whenever we lived in the flesh. There are things that we need to forget about those things. Don't just not do those things, but what? Forget about those things. Don't think about those things. If there are things that are ungodly in your past, you don't need to think about those things. You don't need to dwell on those things. You don't need to let those things enter your mind. Because the more you think about those kinds of things, well, first of all, you're sinning every time you think about things that are not godly and pure and right and holy. So he says, forgetting those things that are behind. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews just a moment. Well, before you turn there, let me ask you this question. Do you know of anything? Now, the Apostle Paul is the one who wrote this chapter. Do you know of anything in particular that the Apostle Paul needed to forget? Do you know of anything that the Apostle Paul did forget? Do you know of anything specifically that he needed to forget? What's something Paul needed to forget? Brother Mike?
Stoning of Stephen.
Sure. whenever Stephen was being stoned, it was Paul that was there and held the coat of those that were stoning him to death. There are many other things that Paul did thinking that he was doing God's service, but he was killing Christians. He was putting Christians to death. Did you know that if he could not forget about those things, if by the grace of God he could not forget those things, he could never go forward in his service to God. And there are a lot of children of God today that all they're doing is wallowing and thinking about the sins they used to commit. And brethren, the Word of God says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's a great blessing, brethren, to be able to forget. It's a great blessing to know that God remembers our sins no more. It's a great blessing to know that God puts them as far away from us as the east is from the west. And brethren, if God does that for us about our sins of days gone by, we need to forget about those sins. We need to put them out of our minds, and we need to believe and understand and rejoice that we have been forgiven of those sins. Now, there are other things besides killing Christians that Paul forgot. I want you to notice in this same chapter, starting with verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, now when we talk about forgetting something, what do we mean sometimes? For example, when you say that you forgive and forget, does that mean that you cannot bring it to your mind when you forgive and forget? Does that mean you don't have the ability to bring it back to your mind? I don't think so at all. I believe that forgiving and forgetting means that you don't think about it. You could bring it back to your mind if you wanted to, but you refuse to bring it back to your mind. When you forgive someone, when you really forgive someone, you need to forget about it. It needs to be out of your mind, and you never bring it up again. That's true forgiveness. And Philippians 3, starting in verse 5, here's some things that Paul had accomplished in his life. Do you need to sometimes forget about great accomplishments you've had in days gone by? Do you need to forget about those things? Why do we need to sometimes forget about those great accomplishments that we've achieved in our lives? Yes, exactly, Brother Rich, because of humility. If we're not careful, listen, if the Apostle Paul wanted to be proud, he could be proud, and he talks about that here in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 5. He says he was circumcised the eighth day. This is Philippians 3, verse 5. And these are things he's going to list, but he says, now, these are things that I put behind me. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Was he an important man? Was he a man that was very zealous in the Jews' religion? He says in verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Was he a man that lived by the word of God? He didn't just teach the word of God, he lived by the word of God. He says, concerning the law, I was blameless. But then he says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me? What things used to be important to me? What's he say now? But what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. He's going to use that word loss three times. He gave them up. What did he do? According to Philippians 3:13, what did he do? Forgetting those things that are behind. Do you think it was hard? Do you think the devil came along to Paul many times as he became a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you think there were many times that the devil came to Paul and said, think about what you could do if you went back to the Jews' religion. Think about the power and the prestige and the honor you had back there. Think about the reproach and the rebuke that you're experiencing now. If Paul had been mindful of those things, if Paul had not forgotten those things, if he had not forgotten that glory back there, if he had allowed his mind to dwell on those things, he could not have gone forward in his service to God. There are things we need to forget. There are accomplishments that we need to forget. Paul says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have... Do you think it was easy for Paul to give up all those things he gave up? Do you think it was easy for Paul to lose all those things that he lost? Do you think it was easy for Paul to forget about all those things of the past. It was not easy. He says in the next phrase there, he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And then he says what? And do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now, brethren, whenever he says, I do count them but dung, he's saying, I'm forgetting about them. They're no more important to me. He says, much like he does in Hebrews chapter 12. Turn there just a moment. And I want you to think about forgetting those things that are behind. And there are a lot of other similar scriptures in Hebrews chapter 12. Whether you think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews or someone else, it doesn't really matter right now to me. What does matter is the expression found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. And I want you to see that there's a great and a very strong connection. The same truth, I think, can be seen in Hebrews 12:1 as in Philippians 3:13. In Philippians 3:13, Paul said, this one thing I do, what?
Forgetting
those things which are behind. Now in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, Hebrews 12 and verse 1, the Word of God says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now listen carefully. Let us, what's the next phrase say? Let us lay aside every weight. Do you think those things that Paul had accomplished, could those be weights that would hinder him running the race that was before him? Are there many things that if Paul had not forgotten those things that are behind, they would have been weights? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Do you have to run after sin? Do you have to chase sin? I don't think so, brethren. I find that sin comes to me. Sin chases me. The devil is after me all the time. And so it is, the Word of God says, the sin, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, how can you do all of that? Isn't that very similar to forgetting those things that are behind? Can sin be fun for a little while? Can sin, listen carefully to the question, can sin be fun for a little while? In a sense, I know that when you have put on the new man, I know that when you've been born of the Spirit, I know that the Spirit of God convicts you when you do wrong. But I believe that my flesh and your flesh, I believe that as long as we live in these bodies, our flesh will always desire and lust after sin. And we, I believe, our flesh enjoys the pleasures of sin. And yet the Word of God teaches us that as the people of God, if we're going to run the race that's set before us, if we're going to go forward, if we're going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, if we're going to go upward in the kingdom of heaven, if we're going to press on the upward way, if we're going to gain new heights every day, the important thing we must remember, first of all, is that we have to forget those things that are behind. We have to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Back up in your Bibles now to Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to look in Hebrews 11 right here, the page prior to where we're looking at Hebrews 12. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, as we read about all of these faithful saints of God in Hebrews chapter 11, brethren, I want you to know that every one of these had to forget some things that were behind. Do you think Noah had to forget a lot of things when he started building that ark? Do you think Noah had to forget a lot of things when he started building the ark? Do you think Noah was sitting around doing nothing and then all of a sudden he started building an ark and spent 100 years building the ark? Or do you think Noah was very busy doing other things when God called on him to go build the ark? When God called on Noah to build the ark, he had to forget all the other things. He had to lay aside all those other things he had been doing. He had put it all aside. When Christ Jesus came to the apostles, when he came to every one of the apostles, were they not all busy in their own business, in their own lives, in their own work when Christ came to them and called them to lay things aside, to forget those things, and to follow Him? Was it hard for them to forget those things that they had left? Was it hard for them to forget those things they left? I think that it was. What did Peter do on one occasion? What did Peter say after Christ was crucified? What did he say on one occasion? He said, I go what? I go a-fishing. I go a-fishing. What had he been doing before Jesus had come to him? He had been a fisherman. And now that he's been following Christ and he's been a fisher of men and he's rejoiced in many ways in serving God and serving Christ, but don't you think the devil is continuously reminding him while he's being persecuted as a follower of Christ, don't you think the devil's reminding him, think about how easy it was back there fishing. Think about how easy it was before you began to really serve God in a faithful way. Think about that. Think about it. Think about it. And if he kept on thinking about it, what did he eventually do? What would he have done? He'd have gone back and stayed there if God had not kept pricking his heart. He did go fishing again, but then Jesus came to him and he realized what a mistake he had made. Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham. Did God call Abraham to leave some things in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham to leave what? Everything. To leave your kindred, to leave your home, leave everything. I'll tell you, brethren, there's some of the people in this congregation that have made great sacrifices. They have left many things. And did you know that sometimes people who have left many things and been lifted up in the joys of the kingdom of heaven, did you know sometimes they go back to those old things? Is that possible to go back to the things that you've left? What is it that will cause you to go back? Okay, it's the devil that will cause it, but what is it that you're doing? How do you yield? What is it that precedes you actually going backward after you have followed Christ and been a servant of Christ and been a part of His church and in the truth? What is it that causes you to go back? Yes, remembering, thinking about, dwelling on what?
Sin.
Do you think you had problems back there? Let me just ask you that question. Do you think you had problems when you were out there in the world? Do you think that when you were walking in sin and enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, did you also have a lot of trouble back there in the world? Did you have a lot of heartache? Did you have a lot of problems? But did you know the devil will not let you think about the problems you had back there? What's the only thing the devil will let you think about when you think about the past? What's the only thing he'll let you think about? All you can think about is just the good things. You think about the children of Israel when they had been delivered out of Egyptian bondage. Now, while they were in Egyptian bondage, what did they do the whole time they were in Egyptian bondage? They cried to the Lord. They prayed to the Lord. God took them out of Egyptian bondage. They got out there in the wilderness, and what in the world did they start doing? They started complaining, but why did they start complaining? They started thinking about, oh, those leeks and onions we had back there in Egypt. Oh, good gracious. You know, that's one of the funniest things I've ever read in all of God's Word. How in the world they could ignore all the hard taskmasters they had back there in Egypt. How in the world they could say, oh, I wish we had some leeks and onions. I would rather us go back into Egypt. I'd rather us be slaves back there. I'll tell you, brethren, they weren't thinking clearly. The only reason they wanted to go back is because they were failing to do what they were supposed to do, and that is, we must forget those things that are behind. And every time the devil wants you to think about those things where you think you used to have fun and you used to enjoy the pleasures of sin, you need to remember that God's Word says we're to forget those things that are behind and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget those things that are behind. Abraham forgot those things that were behind. When he left them, he forgot about them. He put them out of his mind. And he said that we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. What was he saying? All I live in is a tent. That's what Abraham did. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they just lived in tents. They were like nomads. They were going around looking for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Did they ever find that city as long as they lived in this world? Did they ever find that city? Did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, while they lived in this world, in the flesh, did they find that city they were looking for? No, they did not. How could they keep going? How could they keep looking? The only way they could keep going and the only way they could keep looking for that city is because they forgot those things that were behind. And every time the devil began to bring back that home life back there, every time it happened, Abraham began to think, no, I'm looking for something better. God gave me a promise, and I'm looking for that promise. And I'll tell you, brethren, Abraham is dwelling in that city right now that he didn't dwell in while he was in the flesh. And that's a great blessing. You know why he's dwelling in that city today? It's because he forgot those things that were behind. And Moses, when Moses was the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, do you think he enjoyed the pleasures of sin while he was in Egypt as Pharaoh's adopted grandson? He enjoyed the pleasures of sin there in Egypt. But do you know what God called Moses? God called Moses to leave all of that. Do you think Moses ever thought about how good it was back there as Pharaoh's adopted grandson? Okay, that's a speculative answer that we could disagree on. Some heads are going yes, some are going no. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I know this. I know that if Moses had thought about it very long, and if he had dwelt on it very long, he had run back home and said, Pharaoh, I'm so sorry about what I did. And I want you to forgive me, and I want you to let me come back home. I'd have thought, kind of like that prodigal son did, that went back, he was going in the right direction, but Moses would have been going in the wrong direction if he had gone back to Egypt. What's the point? Abraham, Moses, they had to forget those things that were behind in order to press on to where God would have them be. Same thing's true of our lives. We have to forget some things that are behind. We have to forget some people that are in our past. We have to forget sins that were in our past. I'm going to ask you to turn to this scripture. You probably know it by heart, but I'm going to ask you to turn to this scripture because I want you not just to hear it again, and I don't want us just to slide over it, but I want you to look at this verse of scripture. Does anybody know where I'm fixing to go? Okay, let me tell you. Luke 9, verse 62. Everybody turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. In connection with forgetting those things which are behind, Jesus makes this statement in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, the Word of God says, And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and, what are the next two words there? Looking back. Is there anything that precedes looking back? Is there anything that precedes looking back? What comes before looking back?
Looking forward.
No? Well, that's true, looking forward. But there's something else that's on my mind. What happens before you look back? Yes, you think. You have to think back before you look back. Does everybody understand? You don't look back until you think about what was back there. And Jesus says here, no man having put his hand to the plow. And what does that mean? No man having put his hand to the plow. I don't know a lot about farming. Brother Ken, you've plowed with a mule, haven't you?
Very little.
Okay. Well, I did one day. I plowed with a mule one day. It looked so easy. I mean, this friend of mine was doing it, and the rows were straight, and all he did was just take the handle of that plow, and he just did like that, and that mule just went right along, straight as an arrow. Got to the end of the row, and he said either gee or haw, I don't remember, but I thought he said gee haw when he got to the end of the row. And so I said, let me try it. And I started down his little garden with this plow and mule, and that mule was going pretty straight, but my plow was getting in rows on each side, just tearing it up. And then I got to the end of the row, and I said, gee haw. I thought that just meant turn around. Well, that mule just stopped and looked back at me. And Tommy, my friend, said, it's not jee-haw. G means, which one turns right? I think G is what, Brother Carthel?
G
is to the right. The haw is to the left. Well, I said jee-haw. Well, that mule just thought, well, I thought he was not smart because he didn't do anything I was telling him to do, but he knew I wasn't smart because I didn't know what to tell him to do.
Probably almost spake.
Yeah, that's right. He probably almost spake. That's right. Now, my point is this. When you put your hand to the plow and you start plowing, it doesn't matter whether you're on a tractor or whether you're on a mule, you pick out a mark way down there on the other side of the field and you go just as straight as you can. And that's the way you get those straight rows. And then every other row, all you have to do is follow the row right beside it. But that first row that you mark, isn't that right, Brother Carthel? You mark that first row and you get it straight. You pick out an object, you set that muffler right on that mark, and you go just as straight as you can. Don't take your eyes off of it. No man, having put his hand to the plow, and I'm talking about the plow of service to God, the plow of worshiping God, the plow of following Christ, keep your eyes on Jesus. And if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll plow a straight road and you'll be accomplishing much in your service to God. But no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, what happens? Have any of you ever been riding down the road and looked to the left or looked to the right or looked into the back seat and the first thing you knew, you were beginning to run off the road? Well, I'll tell you, brethren, Jesus makes this statement. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for what? Fit for the kingdom of heaven. Not saying you're going to miss eternal heaven, but I'm saying you'll miss the kingdom of heaven, which God has prepared for His obedient children. The only people that enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of heaven are those who forget those things that are behind. Why? Because if you forget those things that are behind, are you going to be looking back? You cannot look back. You will not look back unless you're thinking about those things that are behind. So forget those things that are behind, and you'll stay on the right course. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't ever take your eyes off of Jesus. Is it rather simple but rather difficult to do what I'm trying to get across tonight? It's simple as it can be, but it's also very difficult to do. Just don't think about the things you're not supposed to think about. Forget those things that are behind. Do you know what to do, little Wendell? Forget those things that are behind. Do all of you know what to do? Just forget those things that are behind. Because if you think about those things that are behind, you're going to go running in the wrong direction. May God help every one of us as we leave here tonight and as we close out this year. Let me say one thing in closing. Listen carefully in closing. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Jesus says that If ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Do you need to forgive? Are there people that have treated you wrong that you need to forgive? Do you need to forgive? Do you need to forgive and forget? Can you forgive and forget? If you can't, you haven't forgiven. And if you don't forgive and forget, and you hold malice in your heart, your Father in heaven will not forgive you of your trespasses. May God help us to forget those things in the past, is my prayer for Christ's sake.